Hello and welcome to yet another monstrous episode of Let's Talk About, where today you'll be listening to me, Elliot, and my very furry co-host, Sebastian.
Say hello,
Seb.
Hello. It's funny you say that because I am wearing a dressing gown that makes me look just like Sully.
That's true. And if you're thinking, what's a Sully? Well, I would suggest you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But on a different topic, we're talking today about Monsters, Inc. That's short for Monsters Incorporated, I'll have you know. Now, this is our review. And before we go into our thoughts, it might be good if I stop talking so posh. And if we talked about this film in general. Now, I have seen this film loads. I had it as a DVD growing up. Seb, what was your history of this movie?
Yeah, I've seen this a few times. I would hazard a bet as to the number being less than the amount of times you've seen it. I'm trying to think if I would have seen this at the cinema, because I didn't realise this came out the same year as Shrek. But it may entirely be
possible. It's a good year.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember if I saw it at the cinema. I'm sure I would have. What year was that?
2001.
Ah, I would have been... older than 5, but less than 7. Interesting.
Okay.
So, what's the plot line of Monsters, Inc.?
That is a good question. So, for those who have been living under a rock and haven't seen Monsters, Inc., I can give you a rough outline of the film. It's set in a world full of monsters, and... in order to power the city, monsters have to scare children so that they scream. That's their power source. So they have these magic doors that enable them to go into the human world and they scare children from their closet. So monsters on the bed are real. However, the children are toxic to the monsters. And after a child gets through, two monsters realise things may not be what they think. So shenanigans ensue. There's a lot of intrigue with this child that comes through into the monster world.
Very nice. Thank you for that. So I last watched this film a few days ago. I watched it with a bird. Like a real bird, I don't know. Right. Crazy stuff. I thought, you know, I need to immerse myself in the world of monsters. So that was fun. And you watched this last night?
I did indeed.
Very nice. Very nice. I will start off the proceedings by saying that this is my favourite Pixar movie. So, this is all going to be pretty biased from here on out, based on my views. But if you have not seen this movie before, you need to go see it. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, but in a world full of Toy Stories, and Ratatouilles, and Wall-E's, and all that jazz. Sorry, I mean Soul. Why is Monsters, Inc. your favourite? Well, I'll tell you why. It's funny. It's got a really cool, yet also touching storyline. Amazing and well-built characters with good voiceovers. Some great running gags. Well, to be fair, there might be some running jaguars in there as well. But some great running gags, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But also, could I do a crazy call of the best music in Pixar? I know you've got Friends in Me's out there and the Incredibles music, but I think this one tops it off. But that's my thoughts. What are yours, Seth?
Well, we've lost all the listeners now because they don't agree with your crazy opinions. No, I was thinking in the intro because it's Wouldn't Have Nothing If Didn't Have You song, the instrumental, and then obviously it comes up later on. They won an Oscar for that song, so that tells you
really
kind of all you need to know. Yeah, I think that, I mean, we'll talk about all the amazing parts of this film, but the music really stood out as like, this is really good. Like, every scene that has it in, it's so fun. And I love the, like, kind of 2D drawn introduction of all the doors and stuff and all the jazz music. And you know me, I do love a bit of jazz. But I think you could be on for a winner there of the music. I know there's particular like soundtracks from like Ratatouille that are quite beloved, and obviously Toy Story has some pretty good songs in it. But yeah, I think this one, you could put this on just like in the background and doing stuff, and I think you'd be having a good time. That's just me. I think it's interesting, the one you said about, like, you know, why is it better than Toy Story and all that stuff, because I'd be interested to know, if you ask people what their favourite Pixar film is, what do you reckon most people would say?
I think most people would say it's got to be like Toy Story 1 or 2, surely. Mm. Or Ratatouille. There's a lot of love for Ratatouille out there.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's like the best Pixar film. So I think we'll talk about it a bit later as well, but have you seen, I think I mentioned it before, the documentary about Pixar? I think it's called The Pixar Story.
I've not. You've recommended this to me a ton. Okay. And I've got it in my watch list for Disney Plus.
Nice.
And I've got it in the back of my mind always, because there's only one other thing you've recommended to me so highly, and that is X-Men 97.
That's understandable.
I think so. But I haven't seen that either. So just show what I think about your thoughts.
No, yes.
But no, in all seriousness, I haven't seen the Pixar Story, no. But was there something you were going to add about it?
I think it's stir me into it. For anyone who likes Pixar, I think it's very good viewing. It talks about like the start of the company, and then like how they do things, and it just talks about, like, you know, they're releasing these movies every like 2 or 3 years, and it's just hit after hit after hit. Like starting in 95 with Toy Story, it's then 98 Bugs Life, 99 Toy Story 2, 2001 Monsters Inc, 2003 Finding Nemo, 2004 Incredibles. Some would argue it stops getting as great with Cars in 2006, but I still think it's pretty good. And you got Ratatouille 2007, Wall-E 2008, Up 2009, and then Toy Story 3 in 2010. I think it starts going downhill after that, but what a string of hits. And I think it's kind of hard to have a favourite of all them, but I could see this being potentially the best one.
Well, I thought, as you were talking, I thought, actually, this is true. Let me see actually what people generally think is the best Pixar movie. Now, from our end, the only thing we can do is put up a poll, or not a poll, maybe just a question on Instagram. So if you don't follow us there, we might as well do this now. Seb, what is our Instagram?
Oh, they could follow us at lta.podcast. I think, yeah, we need to put up a poll. What is the best, or what is your favourite Pixar movie? Because I'd be very intrigued to know.
Yeah. But obviously, we might have some listeners who don't really like to go on the gram, either because, you know, they're too old and you think it's for the youngsters, or they're too young and it's not TikTok-y enough. In which case, you could also email us at letstalkabout2022@hotmail.com.
Yeah.
I don't normally say that bit, so I was having to look at Seb via my Zoom goggles the entire time to see if that was right. So yeah, if you can email us your favourite Pixar movie. But for what we could do, because there's loads of ranked lists online, but it's all very personal, which is why any long-time listeners will know I like to go to my favourite ranking site, ranker.com, where everyone can just vote. So it's kind of like a massive poll. Now, I'm looking at this top five here, and my biggest shock for me is that it's not the order I expected.
Oh.
Because there's no Ratatouille. No, there's no Wall-E. No. No, there's no Toy Story 2 or Toy Story 3. No. I'll tell you what isn't the top five. Number five is Up.
Oh.
Number four is Finding Nemo. Number three is Toy Story, which surprised me.
Mm.
Number two is The Incredibles, which also surprised me, but it is an incredible film.
Mm.
And can you guess what they've got as number one?
With
5,683 votes.
So you said...
I said The Incredibles, yeah. Toy Story, Finding Nemo, and Up are the ones before it.
Is it
and Ratatouille?
Is it Monsters, Inc.?
It is Monsters, Inc. It is Monsters, Inc. So I'm not alone in this. I thought I might be. I thought I was saying a crazy thing, but it turns out I'm not. It turns out I'm just like everybody else.
You're a normie.
Yay. Oh, no.
Well, It's interesting you mentioned that about, like, rankings, because, like, on here, the numbers on IMDb are, like, kind of all over the place. Like, Toy Story is an 8.3. Bug's Life is a 7.2. And I don't think this is good, but I don't think it's that worse. Toy Story 2 is a 7.9. I think it's about as good as the first one, if I'm, you know, if I'm honest. Monsters, Inc. is an 8.1, so not as high. They've put Finding Nemo at higher at 8.2. Yeah, I don't know. I think, and we might end up talking about this, but we talk about which of these films have, like, the Disney magic. And I think it also applies to the Pixar films of, like, the Pixar magic. Because I think Incredibles is potentially a perfect film. And everything's so good. But it doesn't quite have the same, like, charm and emotion that I think this film has, or that Wall-E has. And I think that's what really kind of elevates this to that next level, because you mentioned about the storyline also having some emotion to it, and I think the characters are very well rounded, and I think that does, this is like, when you think of a Pixar film, I think you think of this and you think of Finding Nemo, those kind of stuff.
Yeah. So you've heard it here first, folks. Probably Monsters Inc. is the greatest Pixar movie of all time. It's my definite opinion. I'm gonna hold that horse. I'm gonna say it's joint first, and I'll talk to you about my other joint in spoilers. You said you think it might be your top one as well.
Possibly. I think I'm trying to think about the other ones we've seen, because I know we've reviewed Wall-E, and I think we've reviewed Ratatouille, haven't we? And Toy Stories. I think
and Incredibles.
I was like, I wasn't. Sometimes when we do these, I'm like, oh, I'm quite looking forward to watching this. A lot of the time I'm like, oh, but I know if I watch it, it'll be fun. This one, I was kind of okay about watching. And then, like, as soon as the music starts, I'm like, oh, I am all in. I'm putting my phone down. I'm not going to do anything else. We both sat there and just, I was smiling the whole time.
Yeah. I was very surprised, because I actually visited Seb yesterday. And I think I left your house at what? 8-ish or something like that.
Yeah.
And I reminded you about, oh, you've got to watch Monsters Inc. And as I was driving home, I was like, he's already in his robe, he's got the wine out, he's got the fake fire on, he's got his jazz on. This isn't happening. He's not watching Monsters Inc. And I thought, I'll text him when I get home. I thought, let's just confirm what's going on if we're doing this recording today. And he's like, already like a quarter of the way through the movie. And I was like, oh, wow, yeah. He's done it. It's proved me wrong. But I watched this in an intriguing way, in that because I watched it upstairs to be with, so we, so people don't get confused, we've adopted a cockatiel.
Mm.
So we try to spend as much time as possible with a cockatiel, because we also have a dog, and the dog doesn't want to be with a cockatiel, and the cockatiel doesn't want to be with a dog. So we have to keep them in, like, separate floors. So we try to be even. So we watch Monsters, Inc. in, we'll call it the bird's room. And I put the DVD on, because we had it on, but we'll have it on Blu-ray. And what's the DVD music? And it's just on loop. So while I'm setting everything else up, oh, it's beautiful. Imagine that. Remember the old days when you used to, like, set up a DVD, when people would do their toilet breaks, when we go get the snacks and the drinks?
Yeah.
And all you'd have to entertain you is, like, the music or the little screen that's going on.
Yes.
And you've got the music, you've got, like, the 2D doors going all over the place. Oh, beautiful.
That was pretty cool.
Amazing stuff. But yeah, my favorite Pixar movie, one of your top ones, and Ranker has had its their top one, and IMDb is over 8 out of 10.
Mm.
So I think that's got to be one of the top ones as well, surely.
Yeah, the other's like at 8.3. I think Wall-E was 8.4.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen this, do watch it. It's a great film. I've not met anyone who doesn't like Monsters, Inc.
No.
It's just good fun.
And I think, sorry, I think also, like, this isn't, you know, obviously it's a kid's film, but it's the good example of kids will enjoy it and adults will enjoy it, because there's so much, like, the double layer kind of jokes and references and things that, again, we were watching going, oh yeah, I realised that when I watched that as a kid, and it's like, it's just so good.
It is very good. Right, so those are our thoughts, but now we're going to go and talk a little bit more in depth about this movie and talk about spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, this is your chance to log off, give it a watch, and come back. Or if you're a crazy person and you haven't seen it, you know, you can stay here and listen. Or if you have seen it, just stay here regardless. So, yeah. Monsters, Inc. What did my note say? Because this is another sign of either a really boring movie, a really plain movie, or a really great movie, is to have, like, no notes.
Right.
I have three notes, and they are number one. We've already covered it. Best Pixar music? ? Number two, but I love the running joke of Mike's face being covered.
Oh, it makes me laugh out loud every time, and it's such a dumb joke.
I don't know, it's such a great run as well, because it's not just this movie, but I'm sure they also do it in University as well.
Yeah.
And not only that, they definitely do it in the TV show as well.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, wasn't it on like the DVD or like a magazine or something? And it's like, again, they cover up Mike's face on that.
So good.
Oh.
So funny. And then my other note is just, it just simply says anxiety, which is the whole middle section, the main plot point of a film.
Yeah.
It's just constant anxiety. But it's not like a stressful anxiety. You know where like you get... I watched a film the other day, and I feel like we reviewed it, because I remember talking about it, but I can't remember what the film was, where I was just so like anxious the entire time, because it's just one thing after another, and it's not letting up. This was like that, but to a lesser degree. So you could still appreciate and enjoy the film.
Yeah.
No matter how your insides are going. But yeah, did you have any particular highlights from this movie?
Oh, that's, you know, where do you start? I think the voice acting is an inspired choice of people for this one. You've got, what a cool duo, Billy Crystal as Mike and John Goodman as Sullivan. And they work so well. And I think on the trivia it said that they actually did some of their lines in the same room, because a lot of voice acting, they do it separately. And I think it really works having them in the same room, because it must make it so much easier for the chemistry and being able to really bounce off each other and stuff. And then you got other stuff like Steve Buscemi as Randall. So I was trying to figure out the voice, and I was like, oh yeah, that must be him. You've got John Ratzenberger has to have a voice, obviously. He's always good. Did you realise Frank Oz was in this film?
I'm going to be honest, I don't know who Frank Oz is.
The voice of Yoda.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't.
No, he was the voice of Fungus, who was like the Randall's kind of supervisor guy.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously you're not hearing him do the Yoda voice. But there's other good voices, especially the guy who does the voice of Roz.
Was
pretty good. There's also fun little trivia about the kid. I don't know if you know about this one.
Oh, I think I know a little bit, but go on.
Yeah, so it's Mary Gibbs was the voice of Boo, but they were finding it very hard for her to kind of like keep still and do her voice, do the voice stuff. So what they ended up doing was she'd like kind of run around and they'd follow her with a microphone recording the kind of gibberish and stuff she said, which was a good laugh. But yeah, I thought it was all really good. I thought they all bounced off well. You mentioned earlier about the characters being quite good. What would you say in a bit more detail?
In a bit more detail. Okay. So I think for chemistry between the two main ones, Mike Wazowski and Sully, is just incredible, because they're both so different, but they link together so well.
Yeah.
It's like diesel and petrol. That's a joke, because they don't link together at all. You know, it's like cheese and cake.
Yeah.
You've got to put them together. But no, seriousness, it's such a great duo. And it's one I never get bored of as well. Because I can use this to link into, I said I've got a joint two favourite Pixar movies. And the other one is Monsters University.
Okay.
I've never been more happy with how good a film ended than when I left the cinema for Monsters University. I thought that was like 10 out of 10 experience.
Damn.
Because who thought Monsters, Inc. needed a prequel?
Yeah.
I would not have watched this movie and thought, oh, you know what I really need to know? How they got the job. A lot of people, I think, were wanting like a sequel to see, obviously, because we've got that big ending with he's finally got Boo again. But
yeah, and I think that's like the difference between current cinema and cinema of about 20 years ago, is that, the lame out of ideas thing would be, oh yeah, let's do some stuff after. Maybe make it a bit gritty and, you know, they're hard on their luck kind of thing. Or maybe they do something completely different, or they just retread the first film. But no, they were a bit more imaginative and thought, well, let's do, you know, university and we can make the parallels. And that's what I really like about this film, is the kind of the world that it's set in. This, like, alternate Earth, but in Monster Land. And all the different houses and the doors are different sizes. And there's, like, he says about Ted, who just has to walk 3 steps to work and stuff like that. And the fact that their power source is the screams of children. And there's an energy crisis, which is like, oh, is this kind of like, you know, a bit of commentary on, you know, the climate and energy and stuff. And the fact that the company's got like an advert saying, I Monsters, Inc. And there's all these people like coming together. And it's like, oh, it's so good. It's just such a cool little world. And then having the doors and all that stuff and the canisters and having this giant company, and oh, it's what a fun little world. And then so then seeing the university version of that is such a cool like next step that's not just retreading but is also fun.
Yeah, and not only that, all the characters complement each other really well. It's a great set of two, obviously, but then you've got Roz, who only has like 5 lines in the whole movie, but each is as powerful as the last. And I think there was not a single kid who left that cinema growing up and didn't at any point try to do the Raz, I'll be watching, like the entire
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
I'm sure parents loved that. But then you've also got Randall, the villain. Mm. What a great villain.
Yeah.
Like, everything about him is so cool. And then, like, obviously, you've got the boss, who, in spoilers, we can say, obviously, is a... What's the word I'm looking for? A double... Yeah.
Double agent?
I can't think of the word. Sure, we'll go with that. I don't think it is. It's not a double agent. But,
no, he's kind of corrupt in a way, right? Because they said that they were investigating them, and they didn't realise it went all the way up to Waternoose.
Yeah. A twist. That's the word I was looking for.
Okay.
It's a twist ending. Because, obviously, like, we all thought it was just physical, but... And he's like, he acts like, you know...
Yeah.
Just like the boss, and then all of a sudden, he's like corrupt, and he I don't know who the voice actor is for him.
So it's an old geezer. It's his name is James Coburg. It's like, I feel like I recognise the voice, but looking at his work, he's done a lot of kind of classic stuff. So he's been in stuff like The Great Escape and The Magnificent Seven, but not necessarily things that I would probably recognise him in.
But again, like, his voice acting worked really well. And it went from being that kind-hearted, just wanting to look after the employees for the better good character, to that sudden twist of fear. It reminded me a little bit, just because we're on the topic of John Goodman. I mean, we weren't. Saul Goodman? John Goodman. What's
John
his name?
Goodman.
John Saul. John Goodman. It reminded me
you're,
a little bit
you're
of...
You're thinking of Better Call Saul.
Oh yeah. I think I watched a review at one point. Have you seen 10 Cloverfield Lane?
No, but we have talked about it before.
Oh, okay. It's a similar thing where his acting in that is sublime. And again, it's that moment in the film where it just has this little bit of a turn in character.
Okay.
And it's like that acting, to be able to do that, is so good. And it was the same with his voice. It fit really well. I honestly don't think I could say a single bad thing about this movie. I normally try to, but I can't. It was a great running time. Wasn't too long, wasn't too short. There were no characters I thought shouldn't be there. There were no scenes I thought they were unimportant.
Hmm.
Everything just worked, but then that little bit more as well.
Yeah, I think that I was trying to plot out the stuff that happens in my head before, and I was like, oh, is there any more bits that can happen? And I was like, oh yeah, the whole thing of the doors and then all the fun stuff with that. I was like, yeah, I wouldn't take that out. That really adds a lot more fun to it. And I think, yeah, the characters are pretty well written, because like Randall is obviously jealous of Sully and wants to kind of, you know, change the game, and he's thinking, well, if I make this machine, we won't even need scarers, so then like my smarts will be what's important, not just the big jocks. Which is interesting, because you can see why you'd have that resentment, but then Sully's like such a nice guy and everyone loves him and he's nice to everyone. But I also like, I think Waternoose is a good character, because yeah, he's evil, etc, etc, and you know, he's whatever, but you have to think from his perspective, well, the children aren't screaming as much, we're getting low on power, you know, the world needs energy, And it seems that the only way for this to happen is to get more screams. So this machine, do we care more about our city or about these kids that we're scaring? And obviously there's lots of real life parallels to that as well. But then obviously Sully and Mike go through this different experience of, although these kids are not like monsters. And that's the great thing, right? They go in to scare these kids, but then they're terrified of anything from the human world. And like the great scene of the 2319 that keeps happening to that poor guy. But yeah, I loved all of that. I loved the Oakley and the Agbay. Just all that stuff is good. Because I was also thinking when they get banished, it's like, is it a bit too much of a turn that Mike, is annoyed at? I was like, no, not really, because he was put under a lot of pressure. He had the out with Randall, and Mike kept kind of ignoring him and kept, changing things. And then, yeah, you would be annoyed because now you think your life's over. But then it's also very believable. He doesn't just snap to, yeah, I'm actually your friend. I love that scene where Sully's fighting Randall, but obviously he's invisible, so we can't see him. And Mike's like, look, I bury my soul out to you here. It's so fun.
Oh, dear. So, yeah. That is Monsters, Inc. And I can't wait. I mean, we've still got to spin the wheel in a moment. I'm looking forward to seeing what we get. If it's Monsters University, I won't be upset. But I'm not just going to recommend both of those. If you're a fan of this franchise, and I'm looking at you, Seb, watch Monsters at Work.
It's got two seasons. Is that on Disney Plus?
It's on Disney Plus. And it's great because it links in to both Monsters, Inc. and Monsters University. So you'll get, throughout both seasons, you get characters appear from both of them. And for the most part, it's all the same voice actors. Okay. That's good, because I thought Mike and Sully were only giving, maybe little cameos here and there. But they're, main parts of the show.
Okay.
And it's the same two voice actors as well. So it's really cool. But it's one of those ones, it's kind of like, have you ever seen Great News? That TV show was on Netflix for a bit.
No.
It's got the guy that you really like from Community who's like, I'll have a birthday cake.
Yes. I love that
guy. Yeah. So he's in it. The first season was all right. It was just very okay. And I think Monsters at Work, the first season was like that. It wasn't amazing, but it was good. It was in the world. It had some of the characters. It was good. But the second season really goes off. And it's the same with that Great News as well. Great News got cancelled after the second season, which is a shame because that second season was great. But Monsters at Work, that second season, really good. Bringing a lot more characters in, again, from both the movies and some really interesting plot points as well.
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, things that you'd expect would happen in a sequel of Monsters, Inc. is the second, things you would think would naturally happen after those events, the second season does. So yeah, it's cool.
Well, because... Just on that note, I've got some bits of trivia. I don't know, did you have anything else you want to talk about with the movie?
Not at all.
Okay, yeah, so done with that thing... Oh, well, because with the ending, they were originally... There's a little bonus thing about Mike's new car or something. They were originally going to end with that, but then they preferred the one they have. And I think it's a really nice ending, actually, where he just opens the door and you hear her go, kitty! Because a thing I didn't really mention earlier is how adorable she is in this film. And... Also, I did mention it earlier, but I just remembered. One of my favourite scenes in the film is where Sully has Boo in the outfit thing, and she climbs to the dumpster thing, and he doesn't quite realise that she's jumped out. So he sees them put this into the destroyer thing, and there's got the compactor, the crusher, there's all these things that's punching, there's the chopper, and his face is so funny. He's like, oh no, he keeps fainting over and over again, and then he's got this little box and he's crying and he's got this little lip thing, and my wife's like, oh, that's the face you make. That is just perfect. But yeah, so I really like that ending, where it's just you see they get they get to see each other again. One of my fun bits of trivia on here though is the following. So Celia, we've not really talked about her. She's quite a funny character. I said she looks like Katy Perry.
Okay.
But with one eye. So Jennifer Tilly, who voices her, she was married to Sam Simon, who was one of the creators for The Simpsons. Now, she raved to the Pixar crew about a script she read, which was written by a Simpsons director for an animated film. The director was Brad Bird, and the script was for The Incredibles, which became a Pixar film 3 years later. So it's a fun little link there.
That's very cool.
And linking into Brad Bird there, because you know in that one he like did the voice of Edna Mode. Mm. I think it's like a placeholder until they got someone else. They were like, no, we love it. We'll stick with that. Same thing happened with Roz. The guy who did that voice, they all loved it. So they're like, no, we're going to go with that because it's just perfect. So I was going to ask you, did you watch the extra features after this when you watched it?
No.
Oh,
did you? Because
I was looking forward to the bloopers and they don't have them on Disney Plus.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I didn't. I didn't, you know.
So yeah, anyone who's not seen them, I do recommend them. They are a bit of fun.
Oh yeah, it's a Pixar thing, isn't it? Well, when I put in the DVD or Blu-ray, whatever it is, it went through this whole list of things that this Blu-ray has, and I've even got like a second disc as well. And I was like, I could be here forever, but alas, I was tired. And as great as the movie was, I was happy to go to bed after that because I am old.
Yeah,
and that is me. Mm. Right. Shall we spin the wheel to see what we're going to be looking at next?
Let's do it.
Oh, very excited. So many things it could be. The wheel is slowly thinning down. And, of course, we are coming to not a Pixar movie. I lied to you. It will be a Pixar movie.
Oh, great.
Ah, lovely. I've not seen this in ages, so that would be nice. We are going to be watching the third film of something. You kind of got two options of what it could be.
Is it Toy Story 3?
It's Toy Story 3. Very good. Because the other option would have been...
Cars 3.
Well done. But it's not. It's Toy Story 3. You like Toy Story 3, don't you?
Yeah, I think I've seen it once, maybe twice.
Yeah, I've seen it at the cinema. And I think someone invited us over at one point to watch it years ago. And I think I do have it on Blu-ray as well, so I may have even watched it since I've been married, but I can't remember. But yeah, it's one of those ones where everyone loved Toy Story 3, and I was just like, why is this film still going? I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could be wrong.
Because I was going to mention this earlier, just in passing, but it's funny how they kept having these cool original ideas, like monsters, fish, cars, robots, rats... old man in a house and balloons, and it's like, oh, we'll just do another Toy Story sequel. So it's like this battle between new ideas and, oh, let's just keep going back to the well. Yeah.
Now, in terms of when we're going to talk about this, it could be in it won't be in 2 weeks' time. So next week, so basically we'll talk about some episodes that are coming up and one definite place, and the other we're just going to work out as we get to it because we're just that organized. So... next week for episode 99 will either be our ranking of the DC movies that were under, not James Gunn, but the one before him. Donnie Darko. No. What's his name?
Zack Snyder.
That's the one. I was close. so we talked about
Donnie
doing that.
Donnie Darko.
We also have Moana 2 to review. That is now on Disney Plus. Now, I have seen it, so it'll just be down to when my co-host, Seb, is able to sit down and watch it. We will do that one. So we've got that one as well, because that's not on the wheel. But in 2 weeks' time, we have, can you believe it, the 100th episode special. Because people will be like, wow, I didn't realize you guys were so popular, you could do 100 episodes. And the reply to that is, we're not popular. We're just stubborn. We just keep going.
Yeah.
No one listens to us. This is just an excuse for us to watch Pixar, really. But we're going to do something we've not ever done before, which is rank the Disney movies. And I don't know if we're going to include Pixar into that. We'll have to discuss that another time.
Mm.
Because the reason we haven't done that, considering we're mainly about Disney, and considering we love a good ranking, is because you hadn't seen quite a lot of the Disney movies. Or hadn't seen them in years. So we were just going through them. But because it's 100 episodes in, we've got to see what we're doing currently. Then maybe when we finish the whole wheel, we can do another one. But
yeah,
I'm intrigued to see that. So yeah, that's in 2 weeks' time. And then next week will either be Moana or DC or something else if we're crazy. But obviously we don't want to just leave you with feeling like you're a bit empty inside, that you can't watch Monsters, Inc. right now. So obviously we want to leave you with a little bit of hopeful words. So Seb, what lovely quote have you got for us today?
I think the line that really I hold dear from this movie is, I'll kidnap 1,000 children before I let this company die.
Very inspirational. Thank you very much, Seb, and thank you to your wonderful listener.
Bye!